I'd like to draw your attention to the reading in Mark chapter 5, although this account is also found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. In Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43, there are two stories that the Gospel writer Mark has sandwiched in. The Lord Jesus was asked by Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, to come and heal his daughter. But on the way there, Jesus realizes that a woman has touched him. He feels power has gone out of him. This is significant because the Lord Jesus actually stops and spends some time dealing with this situation. This must have been pretty worrying for Jairus, who was probably panicking about his daughter. In cases of serious sickness, every second counts. And here the Lord Jesus stops, turns around to the crowd, and asks a question. So in the morning service, Pastor Spencer focused on the story of Jairus, but tonight we'll look at the woman who touched Jesus. And we'll look at three ways in which the Lord Jesus helps people. We'll look at his compassion, we'll look at the hope that he gives, and we'll look at the Lord Jesus as the resurrection. So, number one, Jesus is the compassionate one. I knew a man who had the following experience on a train. He said to me, "Bjorn, I jumped on a tube and I sat down and I began to read my book." I said to him, "Okay, well, what book were you reading?" And he said, "The Bible." And he said, "As I was reading, out the corner of my eye, I noticed people move away from where I was sitting to the opposite end of the carriage. But I was so engrossed in my reading that I didn't pay that much attention. Then I became aware of this strong, pungent aroma." I said, "Okay, what did you do?" He said, "Nothing. Again, I didn't pay much attention because I was reading my book. But after a minute or two, the stench became so strong, and I looked up, and right next to me was a woman. She was obviously destitute because I could see that her clothes were stained and dirty, and she looked straight at me. I said, 'Okay, well, what did you do? You obviously moved, right?' He said, 'No.' He said, 'When I looked at her, she communicated something to me.' I said, 'Okay, well, what did she say?' And he said, 'No, no, no. Verbally, she didn't say anything, but it was her look. The way she looked at me was telling me something.' And I thought, that's a bit weird. How could that be? Normally, people communicate something by speaking. But then I remembered one of my teachers from school when I was young. When the class was annoying her, she used to stand at the front of the class and she didn't say a word. She had this look about her, and everyone in our class knew that look. I believe in the teaching profession they call it the look of death. Every teacher apparently has their own one. And when the class saw that look on Miss's face, we all knew to be quiet. That look communicated the following: I'm waiting for quiet, and if I don't get it in about 60 seconds, one of you is about to be hurt.' She never said a word, but the class knew what Miss was communicating, so that actually made sense to me. So I said to him, 'What did the look say?' He said, 'I looked in her face, and she said, look.' She said, 'Look, I know I smell bad. That's why people are moving away from me. But it's okay. I don't mind if you move too.' And I said, 'Well, you moved, right? You wouldn't stay there abusing yourself.' He said, 'No. I looked at her and carried on reading despite the smell, and I stayed in my seat.' And I said, 'Why on earth did you do that? Like, were you trying to be some kind of kind hero, or were you scared that people would judge you because you were reading the Bible? Why did you stay?' And he said, 'Bjorn, if the Lord Jesus were on that train, he would have stayed. He would have stayed.' What an answer. Are we compassionate to people different to ourselves? What's our view on the people that are destitute, homeless, people that are badly behaved, criminals? Look how compassionate the Lord Jesus Christ was. The Lord Jesus never turned anyone away. The issue of blood that this woman had meant that she would have not been allowed to enter the temple to participate in the Jewish religious ceremonies. She wouldn't have had any invitation to social events, and it's unlikely that anyone would have invited her to dinner. She would have been an outcast. Why? Because if she touched you, you would have been defiled too. Despite being different, Jesus loved her. In fact, Jesus chose her. According to the law of Moses, anything or anyone she touched became unclean as well. The fact that she was in the crowd pressing around Jesus meant that each person she bumped into would have been unclean. In the Old Testament, the temple was where God dwelt among the Israelites. So it was really important for a Jewish person to attend the temple and meet with God. But despite her uncleanness, which meant she couldn't go to the temple, Jesus was compassionate towards her. I wonder what our own Christian lives are like. Do we show the same level of compassion the Lord Jesus showed this social outcast? Do we love the unlovable? Do we have compassion to those that are different to us? Second point, Jesus is the hope. All devout Jewish people in Jesus' time wore robes with fringes on them. The Lord Jesus wore one. They had tassels on them to remind the person that every time he dressed, he was a man of God and he was committed to keeping God's laws. We see them nowadays on prayer shawls. But at the time of the Lord Jesus, they were worn on the outer garment. So that is how she had the opportunity to touch it. Look how caring the Lord Jesus was toward this woman. Verse 25 shows that she was sick. Verse 26 says that she was poor. In fact, she had spent all that she had. She was discouraged. With all that spending, she was no better, verse 26, but rather grew worse. She was desperate. Sometimes God allows us to fall into a state of desperation in order for us to seek him. She'd been sick for 12 years. She'd been so desperate that in verse 28, she thought, if I can only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She pre-planned it. She looked for Jesus as her only hope. She would have heard about the man Jesus healing people, and that gave her hope. She planned to touch him. There were no other options. Doctors had let her down, people had rejected her, but the Lord Jesus gave her hope. And that's what he continues to do today. And that may be the same in our own lives. We may have been desperate and despondent before the Lord Jesus gave us some hope. Let's tell others too about this hope. Well, did she merit anything for her healing? There was no indication that she was seeking the Messiah. There was no indication that she was waiting for the coming one spoken of in the Old Testament prophets. There was no indication that she was studying the scriptures to see if this healing rabbi was indeed the Messiah. There was no indication that she wanted to get closer to God. All she wanted, evidently, was healing. Her faith led her to believe that this man, Jesus, could give it to her. Was she right? Verse 27, she managed to get through the crowd and touch the garment. She was right. Verse 29 says, immediately the fountain of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed. Irrespective of her motives, God in his sovereignty and knowledge chose her and healed her. She didn't merit anything, but God healed her anyway. Many people at the time would have been interested in the Lord Jesus because of his power and what he could do for them. God still honored her faith and healed her. She could now go home quietly healed and live a peaceful life. But no, despite this seemingly insignificant person, the Lord Jesus stepped up and spoke to her. He hadn't finished his business with her. Verse 30, Jesus knew immediately that power or virtue had gone out of him, and he turned around and asked a question. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31, his disciples said to him, Lord, you see people thronging you and you're saying, who touched us? Come on. Are you saying, Lord, you didn't know? Jesus did know, but he wanted to help her even more. Why didn't the Lord Jesus just let her touch the garment, be healed, and go quietly on her way? Well, we'll see why in a minute. Did Jesus do this to embarrass her? No, he wanted to help her and bless her. In verse 32, Jesus actually looks round. He stopped. He's looking round to find her, to give her a chance to come forward and testify in order to help her. In verse 33, she eventually realizes that she can't be hidden, and she falls down and she tells Jesus the whole truth. Now, why did Jesus put her through this? Because this would have been really embarrassing for her. She publicly testified that she had been healed, that she was ill, she touched Jesus, and now she was well. So people heard her, and people believed that Jesus had healed her. How clever God is. He makes us do things for our best interest, even if we are reluctant to do them. We can't always see what he sees, but we trust that God is love. Verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, falls at Jesus. Well, why was she scared? Okay, she was ceremonially unclean, and she had touched people in order to get to Jesus. Were they going to be angry with her? The people in the community would have known who she was. I mean, she'd had the condition for 12 years. She had broken the law, and in her unclean condition, she'd touched a person that was a rabbi, a holy teacher. Was she scared because of that? We'll find out in a minute. Verse 34. Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. The people would have known that Jesus went around healing people, casting out demons. So when Jesus said, you're well, be healed, the crowd would have believed that she was well. If the Lord Jesus had let her go away quietly as she wanted, despite being healed, it may have been difficult to let the community know that she really was healed. It wasn't as though she had leprosy, which was something physical, because that's obvious. People can see when you've got it and when you've been healed. Her one was more private. How would people know? The Lord Jesus wanted her to testify publicly and let the whole crowd know that she was clean. She could now mix with people back into society and have her life back. What a clever Lord. The woman did not make Jesus unclean by touching him. Jesus represented God's dwelling on the earth. By touching him, he actually made her clean. He said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, healed. This was a message to everyone in the crowd. But looking a bit closer at that word, healed. In the Greek, that word also has connotations to be saved, spiritual salvation, healed, saved. It's the same word that Jesus used when he healed the lepers, Luke chapter 17. Your faith has made you well. And also a blind beggar. Your faith has made you well, Luke chapter 18. It's the same word. Your faith has saved you. This healing was more than physical. It was a spiritual healing as well, as she's told to go in peace. She'd met the Lord Jesus in a powerful way. She had been physically healed, but also she had been saved of her sins. Now, this does not happen to everyone that accepts the Lord Jesus. Not everyone gets healed straight away or ever. But the more important healing that Mark's trying to tell us about is the spiritual one. Well, why is this? Well, we live in a fallen world and our bodies are subject to decay. But it's what happens after death that we should prepare for. The woman had encountered the living God. Verse 33, she was scared because something had happened to her. She was conscious of God's power on her life. This woman knew that she had met God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why she was trembling. If you scroll back to the previous chapter, Mark chapter 4, Jesus is commanding the wind and the waves to be still. and the disciples feared exceedingly. Mark chapter 4, verse 41. They said to one another, "Who is this person that even the wind and the sea obey him?" First of all, they feared because they thought they were going to die. Verse 40. But verse 41 says that the fear that they had was awe. Who is this man that can command the natural elements? Only God can do that. And the same word for fear mentioned there in the boat is mentioned here for the woman. She came down and told him the whole truth. She fell down. She worshipped him. These were Jewish people. They didn't have a king. They were under Roman occupation, and they certainly didn't bow down to them. They only bowed down to God. This woman was acknowledging the Lord Jesus as God. And Jesus says, verse 34, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee well." This is the only time Jesus addressed someone as daughter. How he cared for her, how he loved her, even though she was rejected of society. Do we express these virtues of tender, loving care to others?